So this morning, I was thinking about what would be interesting to talk about, and I was thinking about my summer vacation. My mind kind of wandered, and my wife and I went to Colorado, which is probably one of the most beautiful states in our great nation, especially if you like the outdoors. So you can't go anywhere in Colorado without seeing hiking and fishing, and for us especially, we saw a lot of rock climbing. So usually when people are going rock climbing, they are, yes, they're on sheer vertical red rock cliff faces, but they tend to have harnesses, they tend to have ropes, they have belaying systems, and so that if a fall occurs, the fall can be broken. Now, it does look like a lot of fun from where I was standing, safe on the solid ground. But there is a style of technical rock climbing, which is either you could say that it's famous or maybe you could say it's infamous. It's called free solo climbing. It's associated with the maximum amount of risk, and the challenges and the stakes are fairly high, literally. In terms of gear, only elite climbers could do this because you only have a bag of chalk, which you put on. You put the chalk on your fingertips, and somehow you jam your fingertips into the smallest of crevices, and you leverage that in order to hoist your whole body weight up. You will ascend to heights where if you do make a small mistake, it will be a life-threatening injury or death. So I don't know if anybody has watched any of the documentaries. You can see this on YouTube, but there's also a movie that came out recently called Free Solo. And I think the most famous public figure in this very high-risky type of climbing is named Alex Honnold. And he's famous for scaling a sheer vertical face of rock called El Capitan or El Cap, which is in Yosemite. It's about 3,000 feet high, and he scaled it in about under 4 hours 2.5 years ago. Now, to give an insight into the focus and the state of mind and the mental battles that would be required to do something like this, climbing 3,000-foot rock wall with your bare hands and nothing else, here's a quote from Alex as he has described his ascent of Half Dome, which is also in Yosemite. It's a little smaller than El Capitan, but it's still over 2,000 feet high. So here's what Alex says. Imagine being by yourself in the center of a 2,000-foot face. Between me and the summit lay a blank slab of granite, There were no cracks or edges to hold on to, just textures on a slightly less than vertical wall. I love that, slightly less than vertical wall. I had to trust my life to the friction between my shoes and the granite. I reached a foothold that I didn't quite trust. It felt too small and slippery. I wondered if my foot would stay on if I weighted it. I started to panic. I wanted to be anywhere but on that slab. My mind was racing in every direction. I knew what I had to do, but I was afraid to do it. I had to stand up on my right foot. After what felt like an eternity, I accepted what I had to do. I stood up. It didn't slip, and I didn't die. That's a direct quote. I stood up, it didn't slip, and I didn't die. So I charged from there towards the summit. Now, as somebody who has a distinct fear of heights and hopes to live a long, fruitful life, I have a certain amount of respect for what that young man accomplished, but I think he's crazy in the same token. Now, when we think about the scriptures and how they talk about our journey through life and our faith journey, I am very glad that the dominant metaphors are not those of climbing, scaling vertical walls, free soloing, finding tiny crevices, wondering if the foothold will slip. Rather, we seem to get images of a marathon, of a race which takes place over a long span of distance and, for a lot of us, a long span of time, and it requires endurance. So St. Paul, in passages in 2 Timothy 4, in 1 Corinthians 9, he talks about finishing the race well, running the race in a way which will get the prize, and not running aimlessly, training for this. So the imagery does not describe a leisurely stroll, a pleasant little romantic walk, or even a sprint. It is a journey that needs stamina, grit, and determination, but it is always run alongside of those surrounding us who are running the race side by side with us. So the most intriguing description of this spiritual long distance marathon comes from the passage that Judy read for us in Hebrews 12, 1. So if you have, if you still have your thumbs in your Bible, Hebrews 12, 1, this is our main text here for this morning. So in Hebrews 12, 1, the author says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith." So thankfully, in this passage, there seems to be a few things that make our Christian journey much different than free soloing or trying to individually scale a very daunting mountain on our own with our bare hands and scraping and scrapping up the mountain. So just a few things in this intriguing passage of Scripture. First, there are a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on as we run. There are a great cloud of witnesses. So, what does this mean? I was sitting thinking last night, what exactly is the author indicating? Well, I think it's fairly simple, and it's very encouraging. We have friends in the faith. We have friends in the faith that can encourage us, can give us perspective when we all feel like giving up, and that is significant because we all feel like giving up at different times in our lives. And they are beside us. They are running their own individual journeys. They are keeping going. We are keeping going. When we stumble, they pick us up, brush us off, and get us running again. And they remind us that perseverance is hard, but together we persevere. I think of some of the stories I've even heard many of you tell me. I'm thinking right off the top of my head, but I remember when Tara was talking about her father, Frank, and the way that he is an encouragement, a deep encouragement to all sectors of his family. He's the paterfamilias, the head of the family. I think of when Rocky was talking about his father and the way that his father set a model for him. I think of course, Pastor Rich, who meets with a lot of us individually, let alone preaching constantly encouraging messages. So Paul speaks of Barnabas and Timothy, and they're his friends and fellow travelers, and in his epistles, you can't turn three pages without him thanking somebody that's suffering with him, celebrating victories with him, praying for him, crying sometimes with him in the losses. Now, the writer of Hebrews knows that we cannot come safely through this journey on our own, and that is why a community like Conway Alliance is so important to me. Hearing testimonies like when Bev Thomas gave her testimony, hearing testimonies from Sherry, seeing examples of friends who face real challenges daily in their lives, and they just keep walking and then running and walking as they seek to be faithful. This is important to me. This is important to see that others are going through similar types of situations. So there's a great cloud of witnesses, and they're all alongside of us. They're in this church. They are people that have fellowshipped with us and continue to do so. Secondly, the chapter right before Hebrews 12, chapter 11 describes lives and faithful testimonies of those who had gone before. This is the chapter called the faith chapter because it has Moses and Joshua and David and those that kept the faith amidst lots of hardships. Now, the writer of Hebrews looks back And he's remembering their stories. So when he talks about the cloud of witnesses, including in that group of people, that includes the legacies of those that have passed and have gone on. So we can look back at the faithfulness of our loved ones who have passed on, who have crossed the finish line. So family members, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, friends, people that worshipped in this church. I remember Kevin Crawford giving a very riveting testimony of his family and the death of his sister and how it ministered in different ways, her passing. So legacies of those that have gone before and have crossed the finish line, they cheer us on. They remind us that even though we are all flawed, very human, very fragile, we don't think we can keep going, these people were the same, and they served a greater God who encouraged them. Through the ups and downs in their lives, we can see, looking back at their lives, that their Lord was with them, whether the circumstances were positive or very, very trying. We could actually think of the race as a relay race where they've handed the baton on to us, but in a certain way, their stories are still cheering us on, and they're waiting for us for a homecoming. So we have Moses had Aaron, who lifted up his hands when he couldn't pray and just kept them high in the air. We had Joshua, who had Caleb, who told him, "Don't be afraid of these giants in the land." We had David, who has a brother after his own heart, Jonathan. So Moses and Joshua and David didn't do it alone. In fact, most of them had moments of doubt and fear. So those who have gone before us are our fellow runners in the race. They keep pace with us, and they will be there at the journey's end. I think about even my grandmother who recently passed and some of the aspects of her life which were passed down in our family. And then third and lastly, the passage says we are to fix our eyes on Christ as our focal point. So I haven't played any kind of a sport for over 20 years, so I'm in my mid-40s now, so it's been quite a long time. But I can remember 20 years ago training for soccer in the summer, and we would have what we called our death camps, so tons and tons of running. And part of the physical conditioning was to have long jogs, because you had to play for 90 minutes, especially if you were in a central midfield position, which is what I was in. So we were told to sort of to keep going, pick a focal point far off in the distance, that's your goal, and just keep going till you make it there. And then when you make it there, look up and find another one because you have to keep going. And so it's like tricking your mind, as it were. You know, it's like psychologically psyching yourself out. Well, the author of Hebrews says we only need one focal point throughout the whole journey, and that, of course, he says is Jesus. Jesus is described as the author and the perfecter of our faith. So he is there at the outset, he's there during the thick of the running, and he is there at the finish line, at the finale, to welcome us. The passage in Hebrews goes on to say, "For the joy which was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and then he sat down at the right hand of God." So Christ is an overcomer. He conquered. He finished. He was victorious. He reigns. And we should keep our eyes locked upon him in this life. And he cheers for us. We know that he helps us throw off things in our journey that hinder us, and he inspires us to keep focused on the joy set before us. Now, free soloing versus a marathon with everybody surrounding you on all sides, forwards, backwards, beginning and end, cheering you on, and as it were, pushing you alongside, I prefer option B. Our lives were never meant to be a free, solo, virtuoso scaling of a vertical rock with our bare hands. It's too dangerous. It's too risky. We aren't strong enough. Most of us aren't focused enough over the course of a lifetime to reach the summit on our own. And some of us, like me, are just plain scared of heights. So we are meant to run side by side together. And Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, We run this journey together, motivating, inspiring, and even sometimes correcting each other to keep going until we finish. And those who have gone before us and have finished their spiritual marathon, they're encouraging us with their stories of faithfulness and even their stories of weakness where Christ lifted them up. And Christ is ever before us as our focal point, cheering us on, pushing us on to a way of living that we would never accomplish on our own. So we are surrounded in this church by friends, family, brothers and sisters in the faith, past and present, who are a great cloud of witnesses, telling us to keep going, telling us to keep moving, telling us to keep our eyes on our focal point. And we will share a glorious reunion with them, one and all. So let's run the race together in this church and in the relationships that God has given us now and in those that he has blessed us with in the past as well.